Morning. I want to also, as Jim did, encourage you to be here next weekend to support the young men from the Southeastern Institute of Biblical Studies in Knoxville, formerly East Tennessee. That's how most people, it's hard for me to still get that out like that, but to encourage these young men. I think it's hard for us to realize, and if you have not been there, how difficult their task is, what a heavy load as far as their studies is that they carry. These guys are working very hard to become ministers in the Lord's church, and we need to give them every bit of support that we can. We need all the ministers we can get. We need all the men that are dedicated to the study of God's Word that we can get. So we need to come and encourage these men. I tried this year to save us from having to get up at 8 o'clock. See, that's too early for preachers, too. And so instead of being up here at 8 o'clock for lessons, we begin at 10 this year. We'll have two lessons, and then we'll have lunch, and then we'll have two lessons in the afternoon. We'll be done by 2 o'clock. So 10 to 2 on Saturday. You got plenty of time to mow the lawn on both sides of that, and plenty of time to do a lot of things and to see and TiVo your games or whatever it is that you might. So come out and support these men. This is a worthy and good thing to do for the cause of the Lord. It amazes me how often we make the same mistakes as the characters in the Bible that we know so much about. You know, in our nation today, many people outside the church do not know, and too many people within the church do not recognize who rules our nation. Now, I excuse the people outside the church, because they do not have they have not been given the knowledge. They have not studied what they need to study to have the knowledge necessary to understand this. But members of the Lord's church get no such excuse. It is heartbreaking that so many are confused when they should know clearly who leads this nation. The Bible answers the question of who rules this nation pretty clear in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul again writes to the church at Colossae. He says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." In the Old Testament, the entire book of Daniel is dedicated to showing us that God rules the nations. And that would include the United States of America. Listen to these statements from Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2. "The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." Nebuchadnezzar did not take Jehoiakim. He did not take Judah. God gave them to him, because God had the authority and the power to do so. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. "It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings." Daniel chapter 2 and verse 37. "Nebuchadnezzar is called a king of kings, to whom God, whom the God of heaven has given a kingdom. He's given the power, he's given the strength, and he's given the glory to Nebuchadnezzar." God gave those things. Nebuchadnezzar did not take them. He did not have them by his own abilities and his own powers. God gave them to him. Daniel continues to tell the king in that chapter that God had given all that he had into his hand and had caused him to rule in verse 38. Daniel chapter 3 and verses 17 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it clear that Nebuchadnezzar did not have the power to stop God from delivering them. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. It states, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom He wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. Nebuchadnezzar was taught the lesson of who rules the nations by God Himself. God made Nebuchadnezzar for a time, seven periods of time, to roam around the fields like a beast grazing with his hair growing long and matted and his fingernails growing long like talons. And he did this for, we believe, 7 years before he acknowledged God. Chapter 4 and verse 25, he acknowledged that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Nebuchadnezzar did acknowledge God after his time in that field. And he stated in chapter 30, or verses 34 and 35 of that chapter, but at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of the heavens, or in the host of heaven, and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? We can't stop anything God wants to do. And we have no right to question God as to what He does. We are the creation. After this acknowledgement, in verse 36, the Bible records that God reestablished Nebuchadnezzar's sovereignty as king. You know, we can do a further examination of the Old Testament. We can watch God raise up and destroy kingdoms at will. We can see God put kings over Israel and Judah and remove those kings over those kingdoms as He chose. We can look at Egypt, Syria, Assyria, Edom, Babylon, Persia, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Philistines, and many others, and see that they existed and they ceased to exist because of God's will that they existed or ceased to exist. He determined that. Not the strength of arms, not the power of leaders. Would anyone here dispute that God rules the nations? Would anyone here dispute that God bestows power, dominion, and sovereignty upon whoever He wishes? That's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe. As we consider the election, should we not consider the One who rules the nations? Should we not consider what pleases Him? I've heard about Christians making the statement that it is naive to vote on the basis of morals in Christianity. And that is an unbelievably unchristian statement to make. It demonstrates an ignorance of God's power and an ignorance of His will. If there were, it shows a life that is rather dominated by this world, not a life that is given to God and what He wants. When we vote this week, we should enter the voting booth not as a Democrat. We should enter the voting booth not as a Republican, not as an Independent, or Green Party, or whatever party's out there. You enter that voting booth this week, you should enter that booth as a Christian. First and foremost of all. If there was a little letter after our names like they do for the candidates, I don't want an R and I don't want a D and I don't want an I. I want a C after my name. Let's consider some scriptures that we should take into the voting booth on Tuesday with us in our minds and our hearts. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. Furthermore, you shall select of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. God said, I want you to select good men. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 12. And you can, a lot of our text will come from Proverbs. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. Proverbs 29 and 2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Proverbs 20 and 8. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs 20 and 26. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Proverbs 6 and 17, that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Leviticus 18, 22, you shall not lie with a male as one with a female. It is an abomination. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 5. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. Will He bless a nation that is becoming more and more characterized by that which He hates? Does Jesus desire His people to support those who advocate and promote gross immorality among the people? What is the motive behind your vote on Tuesday? And write down in your heart, what is driving you? Is it race? A lot has been said about race in this election. You know, at best, that is a very shallow and thoughtless reason. At worst, if it involves bigotry and racism, it's sinful. But it's not the reason we should vote. Is it the economy? I've seen the polls. Those mean anything. Number one, let me tell you, money. And the material, and you know, this may be because I've just returned from a third world country in Africa. And I've seen people just as happy as you living on dirt floors. But money and the material success of this nature has become the devil's greatest tool to destroy us spiritually. I see it every day. I see it in and out of the Lord's church. The greatest spiritual renewals this country has known have come in the most difficult and economically poor times in this nation. You know, for years I've heard men pray at our worship services, Lord, do what it takes to make this nation faithful. Maybe that's exactly what He's doing. I don't know. It was the same in Israel in the Old Testament, wasn't it? When they had all that they wanted, they forgot about God. When they didn't, they seem to remember Him and call on Him once again. And you know what? Nothing's new under the sun, and we're the same kind of people. It's part of the human nature. It's human nature. We get wrapped up when everything's good and what is good and forget where the good came from. Are you voting Tuesday? Is your motivation a party? You know, such a reason is also shallow and provides little thought, provides little openness to the reality of the issues. I was a political science major in college. I understand spin. And I understand how people simply listen to whatever they are told and they believe it. It's like that commercial you see today where the girl says something about the internet. She goes, well, everything on the internet's true, isn't it? If you believe that one, I need to talk to you. I understand that. But be careful not to become such a person. A person who just listens and believes whatever you hear without any intellectual engagement of your own. To investigate the things that you hear and that you may advocate. It is that kind of people that enable things like global warming and of evolution to be believed. I'm just going to believe it because some scientist said it. Some weatherman said it. The Weather Channel believes it. People don't investigate. They simply believe what they hear, and such people are fertile ground to be used by those that do not care about them, but they know that they have them hooked. Do not be that person. Our vote should be something that we have invested thought and care about and shouldn't be just about a party. Because let me tell you what, there's some pretty lousy people in the Republican Party. There's some pretty lousy people in the Democratic Party. And there's some pretty lousy people that put an I in independent after their name as if that somehow makes them better than all the rest. So you better vote on more than just a letter after a name. Is your motivation, is it for what somebody will give you? You know, we are to be people who work and eat, as Paul told the Thessalonians, and not people who look just to be taken care of. Christians, by their nature, are responsible for themselves and their lives. They take that responsibility seriously. We do so spiritually, and we're called to do so physically as well. You see, God doesn't care about our economy. God doesn't care about the race of our candidates. God isn't a Republican. God isn't a Democrat. He's not an independent. He's not in the Green Party. God doesn't care about such small and insignificant things. God does care about morals and the kind of people that live in this nation. He cares and hates that we have shed the innocent blood of more than 50 million babies in the last 40 years. Will we support and vote for those who openly have made it clear that they would seek and advocate the continued and expanded efforts of this Holocaust? Will we vote for those who at their convention stood and cheered for this slaughter like the Romans did for Christians and innocents in the Colosseum? Can we do that and say that we went into a booth as a Christian? God also considers homosexuality an abomination. That's not Nathan. And I tell Jenny every time I have to make a statement like that, I'll probably end up on CNN. But I'll tell them that's not my quote. I'm quoting God. He completely annihilated two cities with fire and brimstone that were characterized by this sin. And will we support and vote for those who have openly thrown their support behind this sin and those that participate in it? Will we support those who will continue to press legislation that encourages and promotes this abominable work? God has established and determined marriage. Will we vote for those who would promote the destruction of the God-ordained family in our nation for a perverse and abominable man-made relationship? You know, these are the things that the ruler of this nation cares about. To support those that support these things, make us a party to them. It puts blood on our hands. Someone will say there are no candidates that don't have something wrong, and that may be so, and it probably is. And we may have to at times to judge in degrees. And your conscience may not allow you to vote at all. There may come a day when there is just no choice that a Christian can conscientiously vote for. And there may be that day where we don't go into that booth. But I will not support gross evil just because others are doing it. It is sort of like, I guess sometimes voting is sort of like selecting your neighbors, if you could do that. What kind of neighbor you want? Want a homosexual neighbor that's going to be trying to force you to accept them as right, and someone who, or would you like someone who believes in the biblical view of proper sexual relations and marriage as God defined it? Which one would you want? Does it mean you hate one and love the other? That's not what that means. Would you like neighbors who respect all life, or those that would kill those that would interfere with their lifestyles, even defenseless babies? Would you like neighbors who, while they may be a part of a denomination, they still hold the same morals and biblical values that you hold, or someone who is trying to remove religion from public in every place that they can find? Those who would remove God from their stated core beliefs. I know some people say that they can support a candidate without supporting these things that he holds that they really disagree with. I know that's how we've worked that out in our heads, and we believe that spin. We got our own spin machine going sometimes. The easiest person for you to lie to is you, because you'll never catch yourself in a lie, and if you do, you're weird. I mean, that's just all there is to it. If you'll convince yourself that you can do that. You know, if people, and let's just think about that for just a moment. And I don't believe that anybody in this room believes in the things that I'm talking. I hope you don't. I hope you don't believe that we should kill babies. I hope that you don't believe that homosexuality is okay. I hope you believe what God believes and what He has stated. But if, as people suggest, and the president in the next 4 years gets to appoint 2 Supreme Court justices, do you understand the difference that your vote will make to the future? An average tenure for a Supreme Court justice is 16 years. If the president supports the homosexual agenda, you secure pro-homosexual rulings for most likely at least the next 18 to 20 years. This nation will become the second coming of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that God, as the ruler of this nation, has made it clear where He stands on that. And just look at the advance of the homosexual agenda in the past 15 years, even with legal opposition. We have got to get our heads out of the sand of wishful thinking and stop voting for silly and shallow reasons and vote for the things that matter. Or we waste our vote. Or we bring about things that will destroy us. We need to do the vote in ways that can affect righteous change in our nation, if that's at all possible. If the president supports abortion, you secure Roe v. Wade will continue to be the law of the land, most likely for the next 18 to 20 years. What does that mean? That will mean that you have played a supporting role in the death of at least another 20 million babies. That is more than 3 times the Jews that Hitler killed in World War II. Do we want that blood on our hands? If the president supports those who would see Christianity removed from the town square, then prepare for most likely 18 or 20 years of the squeezing of Christianity out of every public forum that our nation knows. There will come a time, and they are trying to this day, to make hate speech if I even say that God says homosexuality is wrong. They have a court that will agree with them that will become the law of the land. That scares me. Can you be quiet about what God has commanded? If you can, it probably doesn't matter to you what you vote. But I believe there's many here that can't be quiet because God has told us to say certain things. And it does matter. And it can make a difference. It can, and it has in history, been about more than eating at Chick-fil-A. And if the courts change, I fear for our children and grandchildren whether they will be able to pray as we do on a weekly basis, that they will be able to pray a thanks to God that they're able to worship freely and openly in this country. They will not hear that prayer when they're adults. And don't believe it can't happen. It has time and time again. I am terrified by the changes that I've just seen in the last 10 years. What if their obstruction was removed? Many people supported, and understand me, I'm not calling anybody Adolf Hitler this morning, but I want us to understand about us. This is about us. Many people supported Adolf Hitler in Germany because he brought Germany out of the Great Depression. He brought pride back to Germany after the Weimar Republic. He brought them back to where they were proud to be Germans. He was charismatic. He was great. People supported him in droves. I remind you that Hitler came to power in a democratic nation. Yet from the very beginning, Hitler never hid his anti-Semitic ways. They were a part of his party platform from the very beginning. It was not a secret. Germans knew that their Jewish neighbors were being taken away, but still supported Hitler because of all the positives that he had done for the nation. For all the positives he had done for their pocketbooks, putting money back in their pockets. Yet those clearly laid out anti-Semitic ways would kill over 6 million Jews. Most Germans just focused on how much Hitler had done for the nation and ignored the slaughter. And I ask you, for the German that supported Hitler, knowing that he was imprisoning Jews in concentration camps, in ghettos, for nothing more than being Jews, were they guiltless in regards to what took place? They didn't drive the trucks or the trains. They didn't pull the triggers or turn on the gas. But they supported the men that did. Were they guiltless? Can they stand back and say, well, we didn't have anything to do with that? We're completely free of any blood on our hands of that. They shared a certain level of guilt because of their vote when Hitler came to power through a democratic process, clearly advocating the very things he did. My friends, I'm not telling you how to vote. My responsibility is to teach those things that lead to righteousness. Having the blood of innocent babies on our hands will not be a righteous thing. Supporting those who advocate such cannot be a righteous thing. Supporting gross immorality and those things that God calls an abomination cannot be a righteous thing. Hebrews told us at the beginning of the lesson that Jesus loves righteousness. Can He love your vote? Colossians 3:17, let everything that you do in word or deed, what you do, be done to please Jesus Christ. Is our vote pleasing to Him? That's a question you have to answer. I have to answer. But ultimately, I have to answer for it before the God who knows all. And I'll have to do that, and you'll have to do that. And so, vote as you will with that in mind. Because God said that He would bring everything into judgment. And somehow, I don't think that eliminates your vote. Back in the book of Daniel, in chapter 5, we see Belshazzar seeing the writing on the wall. And that disembodied hand that day wrote, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin." Meeny meant God has numbered the days of your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel meant you have been weighed on the divine scales and you have been found deficient. My friends, if our nation does not change and we as the church do not get serious about the righteousness of God and changing people's hearts, there is going to come a day when the days of this nation will be up, because we will have been weighed on the divine scales by the ruler of this nation. And due to murder and immorality, we will be found deficient. God will take this nation from us, as He has done countless times before, and He will give it to another. I don't know why we think we're so special and unique in history that God won't do that. Some nation or people will be God's rod against us, just as the Bible says Babylon was God's rod against Judah. He will find a rod and He will destroy us with it. When that day arrives, there will be nothing that we can do to stop our fall. It will not matter how strong our economy is. Nations have fallen with incredible economies and incredible riches, such as the Persian Empire, fell rapidly. It will not matter how strong our military is. Alexander the Great defeated an army of 750,000 to 1,000,000 men with 50,000 men. It will not matter how enlightened or educated we are. It will not matter what our immigration policy is. It will not matter how green we are. It will not matter how much gas costs. It will not matter how much what the unemployment rate is. It will not matter how we tax the wealthiest people in this country. It will not matter what our national debt is. It will only matter the kind of people we are. Do you honestly think that it is impossible for God to destroy the United States for immorality when He destroyed the entire world for it and saved only 8 people? God has not changed. And the only change in this world is our need to change and be what God has called us to be. And if that day of handwriting on the wall comes for us, what will have been weighed is the kind of people we are. God will look at whether we were righteous and moral. And I'm afraid at this moment, we would be found deficient and becoming more so every day. And I pray for God's patience as we try to move back to what is right. Our nation has done that in the past and we can do it again. Yet many times I find as much resistance in God's people as I do in the world on that. May it never be. And what a shame if it is. The movement toward righteousness begins with us as the church, my friends. And teaching against these things that we're talking about this morning. And I'm not talking about just Nathan getting on the television or getting on in the newspaper or on the radio. I'm talking about every single one of us standing out there in the world we live every day for what is righteous and right to people that don't want to hear it. But God never asked us to just speak to the people that wanted to hear us. He said, take it to every creature. Our vote, though, while it begins with us in teaching, our vote also can be a part of that by the kind of leaders we help elect. Let me tell you, I've voted Democrat, I've voted Republican, I've voted Independent. I'll just tell you right up front, I voted them all. I hadn't voted Green Party, I just didn't feel like that was going to accomplish anything. If a Democrat opposes abortion, if a Democrat opposes same-sex marriage and other issues of immorality, I'll gladly consider to vote for that man. I'll look at the other things once I'm past those. If all things are equal in those areas, I'll look at the national issues and I would be glad to vote for him if I felt like he was the best man. If a Republican didn't believe in those things, I would not consider for one moment voting for him. Because I am first and foremost a Christian, my voting has to come from what I am. I do not want to join those that actively oppose God and our government and drag our nation further from the righteousness that would exalt us as a nation. May God be with us. May He be with our nation. May He be with and His will be in our leaders' hearts. Such things are not naive. They are recognizing the truth of who leads this nation. They are recognizing the truth of who brings prosperity. They are recognizing the truth of who can give or take our power at will. And that is God. And may we vote with Him in mind come Tuesday. You know, I'm an American. Proud to be an American. But really and truly, folks, I'm just passing through. I'm an alien and a stranger. This world is not my home. This nation is not my home. I'm a part of a holy nation, according to Peter, right? So are you. No matter what happens to the United States, good, bad, or indifferent, you will still be a part of God's holy nation, His select people. Your citizenship is not, you know, I have a passport that says my citizenship is the United States of America. I have another book that says it's in heaven. And that's what needs to be first and foremost, that we remember we are citizens of God's kingdom. We are citizens in God's nation, a nation of righteousness. And there is no greater place on this earth than the Lord's church, than this nation that God has established. A nation that, according to Daniel and in the image, the great image, is one that will last forever, leaving and crushing all other kingdoms in the dust, right? The Romans, the Persians, they all are gone. We are still here today. And when the Lord bursts into the sky one day in the future, the United States may or may not still be in existence, but we still will. And I call you this morning to be a part of that nation, the nation that's everlasting, God's people, His kingdom, those that live under the rule of God. We need to cling to the things that last. Cling to the things that matter. Cling to the things that are important. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you're not a part of that great nation. You're maybe a part of nations such as the United States, but that nation's going to come, and if God does not come back, it's going to go, as every nation before has. Be a part of the nation that was everlasting. God's kingdom. You can do that this morning. That's the most important decision you'll make this week. Your decision on Tuesday will not even compare to the decision you make to be God's. Come believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life, a life where it's God that factors into every decision you make, including your votes. If you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten who rules the nations. But not only who rules the nations, maybe you've forgotten who rules your life. And who you'll stand before one day. Maybe you haven't been living as you should, and you need to remember that. Return to God today. Ask Him to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you with any spiritual need this morning, we want to do so. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?